Alexa, what is the baddest podcast in the land?
Here's Pulling Back the Curtain podcast registered from Amazon Music. Playing the latest episode.
On today's show, we pull back the curtain on getting the most out of the new year and much, much more. DJ, Happy New Year. What's good, my guy?
Happy New Year to you too, Prez. Man, I can't really complain. You know, everybody got stuff that goes on in their life. So there's some ups and downs, of course. But honestly, I can't complain. I've been doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Listen, I woke up this morning. So, you know, that's a positive. I try to always lead with the positives first. I mean, like you said, man, there's something we can always point to and say, I wish it was this way and this and that. But man, I think it, even in the spirit of today's episode, is just, I want to be more positive, more mindful, more intentional. I know these are cliches and things that people always say, but I'm really trying to be that way, man. You know what I mean? I really am.
Nah, I get that. Hey, me too. Even though, like you say, cliches, you're not wrong. But yeah, that's something I'm definitely striving to do. Like, I'm not going to call them no resolutions, because we were joking about that before we got on. I ain't calling them resolutions, but just something I'm striving to try to do.
Yeah, man. Resolutions are just things that people break, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, it's got to be something that makes sense. We're going to get into that a little bit later on. But man, speaking of New Year's, how'd you bring in the New Year, bro?
Well, actually, funny enough, talking about our Christmas episode, a couple of people in my family ended up getting a little sick come around Christmas time, so we ended up delaying our Christmas stuff to the New Year's. Secretly, I think we might petition to do this every year, because buying stuff after Christmas, since you know you had extra time to shop, everything was so much cheaper. Oh my goodness. I know it's kind of wild, but like, we really was like, man, I was like thinking what to get everybody. And then once it happened, we were like, okay, well, we got time now. So I low-key waited. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to get everybody like a different like type of like t-shirt or something they like. Like, for instance, I got my dad like, you know Schoolhouse Rock?
Of course.
You know the Verb song with the there's a shirt I got him, and it's like the dude, like the Verb, when he was at bat in the plate, like the shirt looks fire. So like, but you know, when you go after Christmas, because everybody done did their Christmas shopping, they trying to get all the extra stuff they done had all in their stores, trying to get it. So I had every shirt about 10, 15 bucks each. I was like, this is much cheaper than the $25 it was when I first looked. I said, look, this is great. We were joking about that as a family. We said, we might do this every year, because this, let me tell you. But that's pretty much what we did for New Year's, was all actually end up giving our Christmas gifts and actually doing our like celebration that we were supposed to do then. What'd you do though?
I love that y'all had the postponed Christmas celebration that you merged in the New Year. And yeah, honestly, bro, that shit was probably kind of lit, because then it was not really about Christmas as much. It was just about y'all pulling up. So
yeah. I tell you, it's actually so much less stressful. Like, we were all joking about it. I was like, yeah, it's like, it's not the, because, you know, especially like in our families, like, you know, you have to go to the other side of the family and stuff for other people. It was like, nah, it's just like everybody had to go to one spot because everybody else already did their stuff before. And it was like, yeah, like some of my cousins, like, oh, we're going to worry about going to our other aunt's house. Because like, yeah, you guys did this stuff on Christmas with them. We just, yeah, everybody just came, casually showed up, exchanged their gifts. We had the college football on, and we were like, all right, this is a nice little day. Like, it was a nice way to bring in a new year.
For me, you know, we were on the cruise for the holidays, so that was dope for Christmas, just having that time. And again, remember I told you, DJ, I said I was going to be off the grid. Yep. I was off the grid. You didn't hear from me. Nobody heard from me. I was bruh. That was one of the rare times for me, bro, that I literally was like, I turned that phone on airplane mode, and I was just there. And it was good, man. It was good. I know there's a lot of times that I travel and I go places, but I don't really be like locked in on just relaxation. I'll be like on Twitter, I'll be on Instagram seeing what's going on, bro. I wouldn't know none of that shit. I'm talking about when I got back to Orlando after that cruise, people was hitting me up like, oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? I'm like, sorry, I ain't heard about shit. All I heard about was some waves crashing and me sitting on the beach somewhere, bro. And it was dope. Nice. It was dope to have that time. So I felt refreshed, I felt reinvigorated. And then immediately when I came back, I worked again. So that's how I'm moving, y'all.
I love it. It was right back to work, though. I love that.
No, I ended up right covering the I ended up covering the Citrus Bowl. It was down in Orlando, so the ship docked in Orlando, and I said, well, I might as well pull up and cover it, because it was only like 2 days after. So I was like, all right, So I stayed in Orlando, covered the game, and then New Year's Eve, I ended up spending time at Universal Studios. You know, they have like that City Walk area.
Oh, yeah. I know what
So
you're talking about. Yeah.
we did that, man. And it was cool, man. It was chill. Like I said, I'm gonna sound like such a tourist, but bubblegum shrimp, they used to have a few of them here in Chicago. And that was like one of the favorite places that I would go to as a like as a teenager. And so there's no more bubblegum. They had one at Navy Pier, it's no longer. At that Riverwalk, as soon as you walk in there, they had a giant ass bubblegum. So we was like, we were supposed to be going to like a live music spot. I gotta dip into this bubblegum real quick. And
You
they
saw me
was
with
like,
Bojangles.
bro, they was like, not you, mister. I don't like doing touristy shit. I'm like, listen, this is different. Don't you ever try to use my words against me either, by the way. So, bro, we went up in there, we got a drink. I got some of those hush pups. Bubblegums has the best hush puppies ever. Ever. Audience, listen, I know it's touristy as hell, but if you get a chance to go to a Bubblegums, go there, get them hush pups. You will not be disappointed.
You sound like me with Bojangles. That's how I am with Bojangles, because they don't got none up here in the north. So every time we see a Bojangles as a family, we have to stop.
You gotta stop. You
We
gotta
gotta
stop.
stop. I remember we went to the combine, me and my dad, because he drove. I never forget. We was literally on the way, and like 20 miles out the way, there was a Bojangles, and we were like, well, reroute. Like, we're gonna go stop there, and then we went back home.
I
And I was like,
fucking
I was
love
like, we was like, we were like laughing about it, because we were like, that was like low-key, like so unnecessary. We were like, oh, Bojangles 20 miles. Oh, hey, we gotta stop. This is our only chance for about the next couple months, because ain't none of them in the north.
See? That's how it is for me. And you know, the other places like that for me is Sizzler. You might not know about Sizzler, but
I have
it's
no
not,
clue, but
yes,
hit
yeah,
me.
ask your pops about it. But
Yep.
there's not many of them left. And that was a place I used to go to when I was a kid. It was like a, I don't know, you would call, they had like a salad bar. They had like steak and like fried shrimp. But you know, it ain't no good steak. It's just like, think about like restaurant steak. Like a level under like Texas Roadhouse type steak. Well, guess what? It was nostalgic.
I know the Roadhouse. Okay, I'm
Yeah.
here.
But it was more nostalgic than anything for me. So as a kid, we would go down to Saturday and man, I'd be in there fucking destroying that salad bar. And they just dominating. They had the soft serve ice cream. You could do all this stuff. Anyway, for my people in their 30s and 40s, y'all know the vibes. But anytime I travel somewhere, like when I used to travel corporately, I was be somewhere and they had a Sizzler. I knew where I was going for lunch or dinner. Yeah, you put it on the list, man. Like if y'all
Yep.
ever in Orlando, I don't know where there's other bubblegums anymore, audience, but if you got one nearby, you man, go in there and play. They even did the trivia. They do the movie trivia for the movie. And I had seen Forrest Gump about 100,000 times.
Oh, yeah.
So the lady, when she was serving me the hush puppies, she's like, well, we don't normally do this at the bar area, but she was like, but she said, I feel like you're like very excited. I'm just like, yeah, I was like, don't cheapen the experience for me because I'm sitting at the bar. So she did a couple of trivia questions for me, and then I hit her with some other shit that had her ass laughing her ass off because she asked a question about Jenny, and I was just like, oh yeah, I'm like Jenny, and I answered the question. I'm like, and by the way, I'm like, you realize Jenny's just like women nowadays, right? They don't want the good man. And they go chasing all the bad, the guys that are fun, and the guys that give them all these thrills. And then when they get done being used and abused, then they go back to the good guy. I was like, that Jenny, she, brother, she howled.
Oh, wow. As someone who's seen that movie, I can't say you're wrong. I was just like, wow, I didn't think we were
Oh,
going to go
yeah.
there.
No, we got to go there. We got to go there. Forrest was always saving the day, but he was such a good guy. She didn't want the good guy. She didn't want the safe. She
Nope.
want the bad. I'm telling you, that's how they are. They won't, and I'm talking, and I promise you, women gonna get mad at me for saying this, but I don't care. What I'm saying is, it's okay. Maybe y'all should make a resolution to seek somebody that's safe. Y'all gotta go out here and seek something that's good for you. You know, maybe if he is a little boring, so what? Give him a chance. Don't be like Jenny. Don't wait till you're about to die to seek like happiness. You know what I'm saying? You deserve that shit while you're alive. You know what I mean, DJ? I'm just trying to say. I know I went off on a tangent, but it just was in my heart to speak it. So somebody told me to say these things, and I'm saying them. I ain't gonna put it on God, but somebody told me to say it, okay?
As someone who is considered the nice guy that finishes it last, I respect give me a good little shout out. Nussa.
Yeah, hey, ladies, listen.
I mean, I'm 20, but I'll be 21 in 10 days from here, so
Listen, audience, Cougars too. This man right here is a good man, and he about to be grown.
Nah, you said cougars is crazy. That's great. No, that's wicked. That's wicked.
How we roll. But I don't know if you got to saw the Citrus Bowl DJ that I was covering, but Cheez-It, they sponsored it. And during the
Yeah.
game, these folks actually had their wedding at the bowl game. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with people? Like, I was literally getting judged in the press box because I said, what kind of self-respecting woman is okay for her wedding being at the Cheez-It Bowl?
I'm very glad you said that because I was thinking that when I watched it, I was like, that was the place. Like, I was like, huh, okay.
Not only that, DJ, you know what they did? They actually applied for it. There was like probably 400 other
No.
people that applied for that, and they were the ones that were selected.
Uh-uh. What? I feel like it's supposed to be a special day. I don't understand. Like, I don't see why your special day should be on the 50-yard line. Like, at a football stadium, it just doesn't just no matter what football game, that just doesn't make sense in my brain. I don't know. I feel like it's supposed to be at like some sort of like I don't know, like some country club or some church, like somewhere. Like I don't know. Also, with a bunch of people that you don't know, that's the other part that makes me a little baffled. Is like it's a special day, and now you're sharing it with like 40,000 people that you've never seen in your life.
Yeah, they had their wedding party, so they had a whole section. It was like about 40 people or so that was there. But this is my thing. Your wedding was sponsored by Cheez-It. Like, that shit to me was just so fucking corny. And I'm sitting over here. Not only did we hear about them pregame, because pregame, we saw them like all setting up for it. And I'm like, wait, did they literally just get married? So that was wild. So then you saw it on the broadcast because then they had them around on the field.
Yes,
And
and I
then
was
they
just like,
did, and then
what?
they did that for TV. And I'm sitting here like, these folks really just got married at the Cheez-It Bowl.
I like cheeses, but that is not the ideal snack to sponsor no wedding.
Well, you would have liked the DJ because they had cheese, like every type of Cheez-It that I didn't even know they had all these flavors of cheeses. Now I didn't eat none of that shit because.
Only like the original though, so that wouldn't do me no favors.
Okay, so no, they had original buffalo. They had like four cheese. They had like spicy, bro. I didn't know they had all these damn flavors of cheeses. I was like, God damn, it's a lot of cheeses in here. But I didn't have none of that. They had like a little medium meal. You know how they do for that stuff. So I ate
Yeah.
that, and then they had like a little charcuterie board for us later. But I will say this: this is gonna make me sound super entitled, and it's okay. I'm sick and tired of like covering these events and the media spread and the food is like so subpar and trash. So the sandwich that they gave us was cool, but then they had this bullshit ass macaroni and cheese in the mix. And I don't eat no macaroni and cheese look like that's some Kraft shit that's just been heated up. Get that shit out of my face. So I didn't eat that. And then the charcuterie board, right? I love a good cheese board now. Don't play with me. Tell me why DJ, that little box, I'm thinking like, oh shit, it's gonna be like a little Lunchable. I'm gonna have a couple and I'm gonna be good. Bruh. They give us a little bag of Cheez-Its to use with the meat and cheese. Tell me why there was like two little slices of salami in that little thing.
Oh
I'm like,
no.
what am I supposed to do with this? So then I go
That's
back
a
and I'm like,
Lunchable.
yeah. So I go back, I'm like, can I get another one? The lady was like, oh, you just grabbed one. I was like, do you call this one? I said, there's two slices of meat in here. I'm going in. So then somebody else walks up to do the same thing I did. I'm like, you want another one because you want to put them together, right? I'm like, all we trying to do, we just trying to make one actual decent sized Lunchable here.
No,
So then
right.
she let it happen, but I know she was judging me. I'm like, I don't care. You want me to write this article the right way, right? Give me another Lunchable.
Hey, I say this, at least for your bowl game, you was in Orlando. Fenway was cold. I was at the Fenway Bowl.
Who planned it
Ooh.
out?
It was UNC and UConn. Well, first that was just funny in its own right with UNC being there because they were like, please don't ask about Bill Belichick because he's not here. And
Yep.
people did anyway, which was fun. Like at the media day itself, the day before, they literally said, like, there are certain people we know you want to ask questions about that are not here and present. Can we hold questions to people that are here? Secretly, like, they're like, don't ask about Belichick. And that one guy was like, I'm sorry, I'm gonna do it anyway. I said, no, he didn't just apologize and then still do it. I said, that's built different. I was like, that's entitlement right there on some crazy level. Cause I was
Yeah,
like,
but they say don't do it. Fuck it, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Like that was, I'm like, yo, that I was like, he's gangster for that. Cause I dare was, I was like, I'm not trying it. I was like, whatever. But the game,
What was the media spread?
honestly, it was so, the game started at like noon. So it was so early. They had breakfast and you really can't mess up breakfast. So for me, it was fine because they had, you know, the bacon, the sausage, and the eggs. Like you, if to you to mess up that, like you gotta be really bad at cooking. So they didn't mess it up, thankfully. So I had a nice little simple breakfast. I was just cold because you know it is Fenway Park, it is Boston in the middle of December, and then it rained too in the morning. Oh goodness, I had.
Yeah, I did see the highlights of that one. That was the
Oh my
rainbow.
gosh, when I tell you, there's an outtake. I'll send it to you later. Me doing my little like, you know, report stand up for our stuff. And I literally at the end of the thing, it cuts like as it cuts off, I was just like, God, it's cold. Like, and I remember like they cut it out. I sent it to my mom because I was like, I am freezing out here. I was like, this is terrible. Like, I'm from the north, but I can deal with some cold. But once I get like the rain hits me and now I'm wet and cold, it's terrible. It's just terrible. I can't, I'm done. So that was my bowl experience was not as fun as being in Orlando with Cheez-Its. I think I might, I wish I could have traded with you. I'd have had some original Cheez-Its and been minding my business in a nice
So
booth, cuz.
let me just say this, right? I will say you're right. The weather was decent. Well, you know how it is in Orlando, bro. That shit will rain for about a hot 15, 20 minutes. And you just sit up here like, man, what the hell? Where'd that come from?
And then it'd be
And
gone.
then it goes away. So that's what happened during the Alumni Walk when the players were walking in. I'm down there recording and, you know, getting some content out. And I'm talking about, bro, it's storming, like literally, like just storm, just pouring. As soon as I go up to the press box, that shit's done.
Sunshine. Yo,
I'm like, this shit is crazy. And then
no,
I got sick. And
it
then I got
is.
sick.
Oh, see, that's the only thing with the rain. See, but at least like I feel like the rain when it's warm, it's not as annoying as it is with the cold. Cause now you're just freezing and you're drenched. Like that was the part where I was like, I feel miserable right now. I was just miserable. Man, after the second half, I was in the booth. I said, I can't do this no more. I said, this is, I said,
Oh,
nope. I said, I
no.
might catch something. I stay here any longer.
No. See, the Citrus Bowl was different. We weren't allowed down on the fields until post game.
Oh,
Yep. So
yeah.
we went down there when they were doing like the MVP presentation and all that good stuff. But
They
that game was
cheated.
wild because that was the game where Shane Beamer and Brett Bielema were going back and forth. This is the freaking
Yeah, I saw that.
Bro, that shit was so damn funny. I was like this two white dudes just like basically just like having the battle of who could be more annoying, right? That's pretty much what I saw in that moment. Cause like I'm looking at Brett Bielema, like you know he totally did that shit to troll dude, and dude just allowed him to do that to him. You made him like such an emotional, you know what, on national TV.
He took the bait.
Didn't he?
That was, I admit, I laugh. I can't lie. I laughed watching.
So
I
I
was
will say this,
giggling.
as a guy that covers that team, I thought Brett could have done a little bit better with that situation. Me personally, I was gonna be honest, y'all. Just because I cover the team doesn't mean the coach can't be, you know, made accountable for his actions. Your player's hurt in that moment. You go out there, you're checking on your player, cool. But then now you take it a second to then signal over to their side of the field. I kind of, at least a little bit of me was like, that's a little bush league. You know what I mean? That's the way I saw it. Then, okay, fine. I know some people, they were hitting me up. They're like, this shit funny. It's entertainment. I was like, yeah, I mean, it broke up the monotony of kind of a dull game. So, yes, because the game got good after that. However, Brett goes onto Twitter the next day, and he's still talking about the shit. I'm like, bro, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. But, man, it's a great season for the Alumni. 10-win season. Bro, they came out of nowhere. Nobody expected that. But it goes to show that, you know, they're building something really special there in Champaign. So a salute to Brett Bilbo.
Nah, salute. They are building something out there.
Sir. Well, man, so we talked about New Year's, and you and I obviously have talked about a lot of things that we're looking to do to kind of like try to bring out the best versions of ourselves here in this new year. But before we get into like the nuts and bolts of the show, wanted to, you know, give our thoughts and, you know, to the victims of the New Orleans Bourbon Street, just I don't even know what we wouldn't even call that, but like the guy driving his vehicle through there, and I'm not gonna get into how people have tried to politicize this issue. I'm gonna keep my focus towards those victims because I was looking at the names and ages of those people, and I'm like, dude, this is just sad. It was an 18-year-old young lady that had just recently graduated from high school that was getting ready to go to college. You know what I mean? And she was involved. That's tough. And her father, like, they interviewed him at DJ, and he was saying how he tried to talk her out of not going. And she was like, no, Dad, I want to go. I want to celebrate with my friends. I want to celebrate New Year's in New Orleans, right? Just think about it. We all want to live our lives. We want to be happy. We don't want to just be stuck in the house because we're afraid of like things happening to us. But the father was like, I wish I would have talked her out of it. He said, this is going to be my regret for the rest of my life. That sucks when parents have to literally sit here and say, hey, I don't want my kid to have experiences. That was the very thing that parents wanted for their kids at one point in life. Well, because during these times, DJ, things are so fucked. Parents like want to sit here. They want to try to, I just want to keep my kid in front of me. I want to just make sure that they're good. And that's sad.
Because like you said, it's the name, it's like the age, like that one, like stuff like that. That's what really hurts in these scenarios. Like, because I saw the whole political part, and I had the same thought you did. Like, well, this is to me more about the people that are actually affected. Because, like, she just graduated high school. Like, what could have been?
All that potential and all that promise. And then also too, DJ, I don't even know if you've gone to New Orleans before, but I go to New Orleans like literally once a year. I'm on Bourbon Street once a year because that's one of my favorite cities in the world. And I think about the fact that when I'm down there, bro, I'm carefree. I'm enjoying myself. And now it's like, okay, this is another reminder, dude, that we have to be on constant alert in this world. And it sucks.
Definitely does. And then, like, for me, when I woke up, anybody I knew from school that from New Orleans, it was like, then it was kind of thinking, like, oh, like, what's going on? I mean, that's how I found out I was one of my friends in New Orleans when I like texted them that morning and was like, oh, Happy New Year. And they're like, I was like, how you doing? They're like, not good. And I was like, what happened? Because it's like 8 in the morning to like check the news. And I was just like, oh.
Oh wow.
Ooh.
So you wanted
Like,
them to you wanted them to DJ be hitting people up talking about something, hey, good morning. And they're like, did you see what happened?
why? Well, hey, I woke up. I just woke up.
You
Like,
that's just I get like that with people, they'll just hit me up like, hey, good morning. And I'm like, did you happen to see what just happened 20 minutes ago? Like
but that thing, I literally, like, it was a thing where, like, because I was like, I tell you what we did for New Year's. So I was sitting there preparing for that. So I hadn't even turned the TV on. Like, I have just woken up straight to my grandma's to help out. Like, I have not turned on the TV at all. Ironically enough, the moment that my friend said, check the news, I didn't turn around my grandma to turn on the TV and it popped up. And I was like, man, if I just waited 10 minutes, I look so much different right now. That's all I could think about. Damn. But
That's funny.
then actually, like, one of my other friends who is a journalist, like one of his best friends is from New Orleans, and I guess he was telling me like his friend was there like 30 minutes before it happened, and I'm like, now that is scary to me. Like, you were
Dude, there.
there.
Did you see that one interview that they did with one of the young men? He was there with his buddies, and he said that they saw the car coming and they ran. And he said that he thought that his friend was running with him until he realized that his friend was no longer with him and his friend got run over.
But that's heartbreaking.
So that's the thing. It's like for me, I don't care about the person that did this because you know what? He's gonna go to hell. I'm worried about the people that are no longer here. And this is the thing. We in this society, we become so fixated on who to place blame on, who's responsible. I don't give a fuck. If you want to really know my thoughts on who is responsible, it's our healthcare system for having people out here that's fucking mentally ill, and we're not doing anything to treat these people. If we really want to place the blame on the right people, see, there's people out here in this world, DJ, see, they don't get me. See, I'm trying not to preach, but I'm saying there's people in this world, DJ, that they judge their family members for going to therapy. I remember I told one of my family members I was in therapy. He's like, well, something happened? Motherfucker, what you, something had to happen to me for me to want to fucking be a better person? And I'm like, this is 2024, and I'm saying this. This ain't early 2000 when you told that to somebody, everybody thought, oh man, Chris, I think he crazy. He go to therapy. He got mental problems. Shit, we all do. Some people just don't want to admit it. The longer you live in this society, you're gonna need to talk to somebody too, or you're gonna be talking to yourself.
Not wrong. I admit though, I am personally kind of shies away from therapy, only because I feel like for me, I have people I can talk to, my family. So I feel like the whole like going to pay someone to talk to them is like, okay, when I can already open up to people I know, like what? Like in
It's,
that sense,
but you know
but
what? But it's different.
yeah.
I have that too. But I'm also a private person as well.
That's
So
fair.
yeah, and I will say too that the people that you can talk to, they're not licensed. They're just people that are going to tell you what you want to hear. I don't need that.
That's a good point.
Because it's DJ, I want you walking around like Joe Budden because you're not getting what you need. Because my brother over here talking about it, he was sleepwalking. I like, I sleepwalk to the refrigerator. I'll sleepwalk outside with my thing out.
Okay, I have a question though about this, because like that's the first thing question I had when I saw this. How do you racially profile like sleepwalking naked? I can't understand that, because he tried to say it was racially profiled. I was like, how? Like, I'm not saying that they don't racially profile. I just don't think in this scenario that works, Joe. Like, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, hold on. Like, I was like, wait, how? Like, that's the only thing I could think about. And I just kept, I almost like, la I laughed, because I was like, I don't think that card works in this scenario, my friend. Like, look, I'm not saying that they don't racial profile. They do. But in this scenario, nah, be you was just outside, just butt naked. Like, that's on you. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, how do you
First of
sleep?
all,
Like,
this Joe Budden, right? So a
well,
part of
that
me
too.
kind of wonders, did he do this shit on purpose to go viral? I mean, think about it, DJ. Like this dude, he's at the point now where he'll just do outlandish shit just where his name can get like talked about. Because you know, the first thing that happened after this thing happens is people went straight to his show and hear him talk about it. Well, it can be calculated.
Honestly, in this society, you can never put that past anybody.
No, that's the thing.
You really can't, because now it's like such a calculate. Like, what if they did this just to make you go see their thing? Because now, since you're the topic of conversation, now everybody's gonna see what you gotta say next.
And I don't know, man. He's one of those ones that I struggle with because while I find him mildly entertaining, also kind of find him a little problematic too. So my thing is, when I hear stuff like this, I'm like, did he do this shit on purpose? Like, did he have beef with those neighbors and was he just like fucking with them? Like, you just never know.
You really don't. I'm still just laughing about it. Like, because I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, it's no, because the saying that it was sleepwalking is the part where I laugh, because I'm like, there's no way you sleepwalked that far. Look, I'll be honest, my dad on his knee scooter when he got lost his toes, he did sleep scoot one time. He did get on the scooter and scoot across the room, but like
Okay,
that
that's
so.
now that's wild.
No, but here's the thing, we caught him. Like, also, he was like half awake, because once we tapped him, he was like, like he woke up. Like, he was his eyes open. So I'm like, I don't know. But I'm like, so I can't really fully be like, there's no way. But I still feel like there's no way he sleepwalked that far. Like, out your house? Come on.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time to delve into that one with your pops, but I just your pops slept. Slid on the scooter. I DJ, I gotta call foul on this one now.
I'm not lying
Did
to you. I'm
see
not.
this with your eyes?
Yes,
Your
that's the reason why I know this is true. I literally watched him, like, he literally got up and was like scooting. And then he was like, I need water. And we're like, there's water next to the event. Like, he had a cup of water. I was like, the water right there. He's like, I need water. I was like, Dad. Like, we tapped him. He was like, and you can see him like kind of like wake up. And he's like, what am I doing? I was like, you said you needed water. I was like, were you asleep? And we all just started laughing, because I was like, there's no way. I said, like, were you sleep scooting? And then it just became like, that was the catchphrase of what it was called after that. Like, I. So, yo, like, I know he's gonna hear this back and be like, he didn't know it. He just outed me for that. But I'm sorry, Pops. That was fun. Like, I can't. That's what I think of when I saw sleepwalking, was that. I'm like, I guess it could be possible. But part of me's like, there's no way he sleepwalked out his house.
What I would say to you, sir, is nothing is out of bounds on this show. It's called pulling back the curtain. So you now have become famous. So congratulations, because now you like Joe Budden out here.
Now, Pop was close. He's not that
Okay,
wild.
good. Good
He's
job.
not that wild. He's not not.
Good job, Pops.
No, he's not that wild.
While he's sliding around to get
Nah,
his water.
because that'd be crazy. Oh, man.
That's so fucking wild. But you know what? This has been such a random start to the year, right? Because we had the New Orleans situation. We have this Joe Budden thing that we just talked about going into the new year. And then DJ, we got the craze that is LiAngelo Ball, who, I mean, I know he's considered the brother that people think is a joke and kind of like they all make their little commentary about him. But my man, you stumbled upon something now with this song.
Hey, I just swear in the corner. Whoa,
Hey,
it's catchy. It's
talk to him,
catchy. It's
DJ. Talk
catchy.
to him.
I can't lie. It's catchy. Cause I'll be honest, when I said I heard he made a song, I was like, "So we just doing anything now, aren't we?" Like, part of me was just like, "What are we doing?" And then I listened to it. I was like, "You know what? My bad." Cause I was like, "Yo, you got something with this. This is actually kind of catchy." Yes, hold on. Cause I'll be
He
honest,
got
at first.
the number one song on YouTube Music, bro.
See, and that's the part where I laughed. Because, like, for a second there, I was just like, look, I understand the NBA thing didn't work out, but I feel like we're trying anything now, aren't we? Like, that's my first initial thought. Not that I'm saying that he can't, but I was just like, oh, we're really just trying everything. And then I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good. And then it was like, once I heard it once, it was everywhere. Because then, like, the Detroit Lions are playing when they celebrating. I was just like, okay, like, I was like, he really just came upon something. And is this going to be the hit of the year, the beginning of the year? It's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, when Matt Campbell said, "Give me that Jello," I was like, "What?" I said, "That shit cold." I said, "That shit cold, cold." Hey, do you think this will go take over Mustard?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't. I feel like it's. I feel like it's. I don't want to get too high on it. But like, it just might. It just might.
I mean, bro, it did 2.7 million views in like 2 days. Like, those are
That's
some crazy
wicked.
numbers.
That's wicked. No, because that's why I'm like, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I'm like, it really just might. Like. Now, the thing
Shit
is he
cold.
gonna be a one-hit wonder is the only thing now. Do you think it's gonna be one of
Well,
those?
he will probably never have another song like this, but let's let him live for right now, right? Because I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. When they was like, LiAngelo Ball had a song, I kind of laughed about it. I was like, okay, and then when I heard it, I was like, damn, low key, this is kind of decent. Then it like blew up, and I'm like, wow, that escalated quick.
I'm very glad we had the same experience. And you just at first you laugh and was like, man, whatever. And then you heard it, you're like, oh, this kind of nice. Hold on.
Yeah, it's
Like,
kind of decent,
I
yeah.
said, hold on. Like, I started playing it myself a couple of times. I said, wow, I can't believe this is, I said, I can't believe this right now.
This is what 2025 is going to probably end up being, DJ, where you're going to have this weird occurrences like this, because this was not on my bingo card
Not at
that LiAngelo
all.
Ball would
Not
have
at
a
all.
number one song on YouTube.
No, that was not on my bingo card at all.
Like, he's ahead of Tyler, the Creator right now. Like, that's insane.
that's crazy. I can't. That was, like you said, not on my bingo card. But hey, I can't lie. I have for the last couple of days. I've been saying that. I've been swearing in the corner. Whoa. I've
Hey,
been doing
talk
it.
to him.
I've been doing
Talk
it.
to
And
him.
I'm part of me is a little mad at myself that I've got that this song's been that catchy. A part of me is a little mad that I'm like, wow, I can't believe. Think about like what you listen to. Now I'm like, oh, I'm listening to LiAngelo Ball. Like that's a statement that is now could happen to me, and I don't know how I feel about that. Like,
Hey, everybody like Tweaker. Everybody like Tweaker, man. It's a legitimate song. And for me, because I'm a little older, DJ, I'm all about like that 90s, 2000s type of music. And this song got like a 2000s
it
vibe to it, which is
does.
why I like it so much.
It does. And because you know I like old school music too. Oh, I feel
Yeah.
bean to call it old school, but like you know,
No, it's all good.
I like
Listen,
that
baby.
music
Hey, look,
too.
hey, DJ, what I will tell you about that is I know that I'm an older gentleman in this world.
You
But
right.
hey, it still look good now. I'm black.
Hey,
You know how we do.
amen. Amen. I like that kind of genre of music too. So I really was like, oh, hold on. Like I wanted to get those like get like the extra like long jersey and get the G shoes down to there. I wanted to commit for a second. I wanted to commit. I was like, yo, I wanted to get the whole outfit going. You do like Nelly, get the tape on the eye, like from Hot in Here, get the headband. I almost thought about it. I did for a second. I was like,
Oh shit! The DJ is about to order up some Air Force Ones. That's them the type of vibes you was feeling.
yo, my brother got Air Force Ones. I'm gonna steal his pair. No, sir.
There you
No, sir.
go. There you go. It did have it. It literally, I definitely when I heard the song, it took me back to that mode. I'm like, this song would have been number one in 2005, and it's number one in 2025. That's quite an accomplishment.
Right, that's different. Like, no, because you're right though. It really would have, like, 2005. This would have been the song of the summer. Like,
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Listen, Right now, I'm about to age myself. I wish LimeWire was still a thing. I would have burned it this CD. Yeah, I'm telling my age for all y'all old school people out here that was pirated music. Oh yeah. I like, where my fucking marker at? I could put Tweaker LiAngelo Ball on this CD I just burned.
You say, oh my goodness, nah, you really did age yourself with that one. You said burning the CD.
Oh
Oh
yeah, bro. I used
man.
to sell them
Woo.
suckers 3 for 10. Come on now. Don't play with
Would
me. No,
you bootleg in movies too at that point? Like,
I didn't do the movies. I didn't do the movies. Just
okay,
CDs. Just
okay,
CDs.
okay. I had to ask. I had to ask.
No, I was known for the classic playlist back in my time and those albums. Now, I won't tell you who my number one selling album was because people will judge me, but y'all know who he was. Some call him the Pied Piper. Anyway.
We got a note. I ain't gonna touch that.
Well, we do need to touch on this situation with the Virginia nurse, DJ.
Oh.
Elizabeth Ann Trotman. Yeah, we're gonna say your government name all over this podcast. Because this woman here, bruh, what she did to the babies. And DJ, what did we talk about on a recent show? We talked about our systems that are in place that are supposed to be protecting children and protecting families. This is another situation where the system failed these poor babies and their families. This woman was reported back in 2023, DJ, for the same crimes that she was ultimately arrested for here in 2025. All the hospital did at that time, DJ, was place her on a paid administrative leave for 1 year with the incidents that she was basically accused of back in 2023. But she returned to work late last year. Make that make sense.
You know what I ask myself though in this moment? Not to be that guy. Where's the pro-life crowd? My mom said that to me, and I give her credit for saying it because she had me thinking. Because I thought about it.
Oh, look at hey, y'all DJ got a ghostwriter.
Hey, nah, chill, chill. Don't say it like that. Chill, chill, chill. It was just that one statement. Just that one
Okay,
statement.
I
Just
got
that
you.
one
Drake
statement.
Jr. Oh, okay.
Nah, chill, 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 chill. Hold on. See, you can't do that again. If you can't, don't go back there, please. I beg you. Don't say DJ says Drake Jr. That's messed up. That's foul. That is foul. It's foul. But I had to get credit to my mom because she said it first. But like she got me thinking, like, where is the pro-life crowd though? All them years they complain about all that, like, but once again, like you said, this healthcare system, we point fingers where they at. I mean, they did all this complaining about before you get here, and now you're here and no one cares.
Because you outside picketing and doing all this stuff, but now these babies are being mistreated, limbs being broken, and don't even get me to the situations where you get these weirdos that are sexually abusing the babies. Where are you then?
Right.
So salute to your mama, man, because that's such a fair point, and ain't nowhere to be found. Matter of fact, they the ones that's molested them kids, if I'm being honest.
They. I'm glad
Is
you said
that why you're so pro-life?
it.
You wanna
Tell them.
shit. Don't get me started. You pro-life because what? You want an easy target?
Ooh.
Cause do you really care? Cause when you hear this stuff that's happening, DJ, it's like, first of all, she's a piece of shit. But where are the people that are supposed to protect these kids? Where are the people that are supposed to have rules for how they govern things in a hospital? How do you just like let somebody like that? They've been accused of doing something like that. You pay them to go away, and then bring them back. That's the thing. Now, what kind of fucked up person do you have to be a nurse, and you could do this type of shit to a child? Like, that's insane. Like, I'm a fucked up person. I will admit that. I think very bad things sometimes about people. But a child, a little baby, when you see a little baby, that's the one thing. Like, I'll be in a game and a little baby walk past, and I'm like, oh, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you want, Elizabeth?
As I said a couple episodes ago, I don't know how you sleep at night when you do stuff like this. I don't know. I don't understand how you could do stuff like that and get a good sound sleep.
If she got a partner, I don't know how that person slept next to her.
Ooh, that's a whole other conversation because I once crazy for me.
I was talking about that mugshot. My God. That she probably put on makeup for that shit. She looked terrible. I got scared three times.
Yo, chill. Not three times is crazy.
And somebody was hitting me up about it. They were like, yeah, Prince, I know y'all gonna probably talk about it, but what you think the motive was? And I was like, is that a serious statement? There's never a motive to do this to anybody, let alone to babies. And it's the thing, if this shit happened to a dog, there'll be more outrage.
Oh, don't get me started. If this happened to a dog, they'd have been riding in the streets.
She wouldn't have been
Man,
put on no damn paid administrative leave. They'd have
I
thrown
tell
her
you
ass in jail
that.
like Mike Vick.
Yo, shoot. You already know. Bro, Mike Vick to this day still can't live that down.
No, they still bring that shit up. I'm like, this man was in jail for 3 years. He lost everything. He went on the apology tours, did all this work, and still people bring that up.
Yeah.
Shit's crazy. Shit, Chris, this woman out here wounding children, and they say, oh, okay, we'll pay you. Go ahead and go home. It'll be
Right.
okay. It'll blow over. Then you can come back to work. And then she does the same shit all over again.
And then at that in the NICU, like that's crazy work too. Cause that's the other part. Like, not saying it's right on any matter, of course, but like in the NICU at that is crazy. When you said you
It's
eat a
just
shit, you
something
ain't
that.
lying.
It's just something that's not supposed to happen.
It's not.
It's fucked up, man. It's fucked up.
It
And
really
like I
is.
said, it happened on this hospital's watch. And my first reaction isn't just to focus on lawsuits and people getting money, but that hospital system is going to get the shit sued out of them.
They ought to be shut down, honestly.
You know how that shit go, DJ.
Well, yeah, you know.
They'll cut the check and no harm, no foul.
Which is unfortunate.
Oh, it definitely is. Speaking of unfortunate, man, Fox Sports One.
Oh.
That DJ, this one don't surprise me because for a minute I was always sitting back wondering. I'm like, all right now, Skip. I always kind of seemed like a little certified weirdo. Y'all already know how I feel about Shannon Sharp. Jason Whitlock when he was on that network. They were all just weirdos. Then I'm like looking at Joy Taylor, DJ, and I was always kind of like, all right, Joy, you nice to look at and all that good stuff, but you don't know what the fuck you talking about. How the hell you get on this damn show? Then the lawsuit drops, DJ, and I'm like, oh, that's how you got on that show. And to me, I'm gonna say this, and DJ, you know this, you see it, you witness it because you're around it. There are so many talented journalists, whether they're male or female. But I feel like the female journalists, if they're good at their craft and if they blow up, people always in the back of their minds think that they have slept with someone to get to that point. And when you have these Joy Taylors of the world that do the things that she's been accused of in this lawsuit, all she's doing is making it more and more difficult for these young journalists to make a way for themselves to be taken seriously in this industry.
I am so glad you said that because that was my first takeaway when seeing this. I remember saying to one of my friends, I said, the biggest loser in all this is every young female journalist trying to make their way. Because now, if anybody gets any type of success, you're going to be looked at differently. Because everybody always thought this in the back of their minds anyway, but now there's literal proof of it. And I was just like, yeah. So they're the biggest loser. The rest of this is you can look at this from many different angles. I mean, Skip Bayless, it's one of those things, like you said, I ain't gonna I just that doesn't surprise me in a very like disturbing way. Like I feel like I should have been more like, I can't believe someone would do something like that. But I was like, yeah, that just unfortunately seems about right.
$1.5 million he offered this woman to have sex.
That's the other part where I was like, man, like that's desperation on a crazy level that you was gonna throw millions at people. Just like how lonely do you have to be to have to throw millions at folk?
Listen, he got a wife. Could you imagine how she feeling reading that shit? And this man told this
Oh.
woman, Not only would he give her 1.5 million, but he told he could change her life. Now, I've said that shit to a woman, but it ain't but no $1.5 million attached. I just told her I was gonna change her life. See, you know, but he wasn't threatening. He basically was saying that he could change her life because he has all these opportunities that he could put in front of her.
Yeah, I guess that's fair, but who?
Real ones, we ain't gotta say that. We're like, listen, one night with me and I will change your life. See, y'all feel the vibes.
Nah, but yeah, but with Skip and then that executive guy, I'm just like, that's wicked.
But it
That is
don't
just shit.
surprise me.
But it
That's how
don't.
this shit go, man, with these damn executives. Think about Hollywood. We talk about it all the time. You get these people that, A, they're surrounded by beautiful people. I'm not going to say women, but in this situation, it's a beautiful woman. And this guy, he would never even have the ability to ever even think that he could have sex with somebody that looked like Joy Taylor. But because he has this opportunity, that makes him something where she's like, yeah, I'll do what I gotta do. Now, you can feel whatever kind of way you want to feel about Joy Taylor for doing so. But for me personally, I'm looking at this person and like, bro, you really are out here dangling opportunity in front of someone saying, this is what I can do for you. Along the lines of what Skip Bayless said to the hairdresser, I can change your life.
Yeah.
That's where I'm coming from with this shit. These people are weirdos.
Yeah, that's the bigger issue is the abuse of power.
Thank you.
That's the biggest issue is the abuse of power. Now, the name attached, and like I said, the biggest loser, it comes from Joy Taylor kind of unfortunately, like, giving in, but the biggest problem here is the abuse of power. And now everybody's looking at Fox Sports a whole lot differently.
I've
At
always
least I
looked at
know
it
I
that
am.
way.
Well,
Yeah,
I
I've
mean,
all,
yeah, I
yeah.
mean. Well, like you said, the whole Hollywood scene itself. It's one of those moments where, I mean, I admit as a kid, you were like, I want to be there and work there and at these different places and these big companies. But it's stuff like this will make you, as you get older, you're like, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe I take it back.
Too many
Because
politics, bro. Too many politics. You
I'm
know,
just like,
I just love sports. I don't need to be doing all this stuff behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah.
And this is my thing. We got a hairdresser that pretty much has exposed all of these people involved.
Yeah.
And if they would have acted on the issues that she had going on, she went to Joy Taylor and said, hey, this guy grabbed my ass. I feel uncomfortable. Skip is doing all these things to me. I don't feel comfortable. And Joy Taylor told her to get over it. Now,
That's crazy.
I thought we lived in a society where women were supposed to be each other's biggest supporter and backer and believe all women and support all women. What Joy Taylor said? She said, get over it. That's just wild.
Wild, straight wild, and that's the part where, like, because at the beginning of this, when you first read it and you see the whole, like, they basically, in a sense, say Joy Taylor slept her way to the top or whatever. Your party is like, oh, okay, but it's like, all right, like, whatever. When that's the part where I was like, okay, see, now you're that's is where now you're also now, like, just as in a sense, it's just as bad as everybody else in the scenario, because like you just basically told her, shut up and dribble. Or they're like, I don't know, like, I guess in that kind of like
That
same, like,
is pretty much what she was saying.
yeah, in that same phrase, like,
Shut
just
up and
deal,
deal with it.
yeah, like, just don't even worry about it, like, do what you got. And it's like, but no, that's not it. I should be able to do my job and not have to do stuff to be there. I earned my spot here, not, but yeah, this whole thing is just wild. Whole
And you know
the whole
what?
thing.
Another part with Joy Taylor's piece that really bothers me is it obviously was consensual between her and the executive, right? But the hairdresser also has suggested in here is that when Joy Taylor felt like her career was advanced enough, and if she ever needed to have like a security blanket, she would just accuse the executive of sexual assault to distance herself to protect her reputation. So my
Ooh.
whole thing is the abuse of power by the executive and Skip Bayless is totally fucked. But now we have a situation where there's a woman out here that is now going to weaponize sexual assault and abuse as a way to have people not look at her in a negative light. And we have a lot of these situations that happen out here, and a lot of men are being weaponized in this way. So, yes, that executive and Skip both are doing things that have been wrong about Hollywood and the sports industry for decades, and that's abusing their power. But I'm not gonna let Joy off the hook when she was involved in a consensual situation where it was mutually beneficial for both. And you would suggest that to protect your reputation, if you needed to do so, you would say this man assaulted you. That's just fucking low and it's foul.
Yeah, folks, yeah, that's crazy work. Like the whole situation is fucked, honestly. The whole thing. From top to bottom, this is just bananas.
But like I said, man, this has been happening at these networks for I don't know how long. You go through, there's been a long list. Some of your favorite athletes have been involved in a lot of these lawsuits. It's always the makeup artists and the wardrobe stylists and people behind closed scenes that these people are doing this stuff with. What happened to being a professional? I mean, bro, not only just in my current profession, being in media, but when I was in corporate, I was surrounded by beautiful women. Yeah, great. I'm proud of you. But whether I had drinks in me or not, it didn't change my level of professionalism. Like, what happened to that? At the core of everything, we're supposed to be colleagues. It should be about our craft. I'm not gonna sit up here and act like I never chased around and, enjoyed my life, but I never did it with people that we worked on the same team together. To me, that just says you're just like a predator, where you're just like sitting around just waiting for an opportunity to pounce. That's weirdo shit.
I mean, honestly, it honestly just screams trouble to me. Screams trouble. Like, you just, it's like there's nothing good coming out of it. And at that point, yeah, you still got to work with this person. So now it's just gonna be uncomfortable. Like, and unless in the 1 in a million shot where like everybody's on board with this relationship, it just breeds just uncomfortable and just a rough workplace. And like you said, you're going into work. It's about professionalism, not anything else. And that's where, like I said, just from top to bottom, because you got from executives down to here. So like top to bottom, this whole thing is just, it's like Fox Sports is most likely gonna be in shambles. Cause you can even tell by the little statement they left where it's like, at this time, like we're gonna take it seriously. But and I'm like, you could just tell by their statement. I was like, they know that
They're
they're in some,
cooked.
yeah, they know they're cooked. You're toast. Like it's gonna be bad for them
And
as a whole.
Skip looked like a creep. The lady said he would have these lingering hugs. And you listen, you've probably seen those type of dudes DJ that they were talking about, hey girl, you got my hug for me. You lame. And Skip looked like one of those type of dudes with the 20-second hug. Like, bruh, stop. Kisses on the cheek. Press it up against her. And he was so insecure. This is another thing with him and Shannon. And this is why, even though Shannon's name's not listed to this thing, Shannon, you complicit. You was around. You saw the shit. You witnessed it. You didn't say anything. Shannon's so quick to talk about in the 42 pages. You know how he talked. He talked like he got a bunch of gum in his goddamn mouth. But he's sitting up here, the 42 pages, my name would come up nowhere. I'm like, yeah, but you were still there, fam. Did you do anything? Did you say anything?
In all reality, that was just the statement from that one hairstylist. I will bet you 10 bucks if someone else comes out after this, his name is coming up at some point. I'm sorry. At this point, I know, I just know just from the fact of just how I feel this is going to go. If anybody else comes out and the ship starts sinking, everybody starts jumping ships, everybody's getting thrown under the bus at some point, and his name is coming up.
Yeah. And
There's
listen,
no way.
I didn't have a problem with Shannon. I just don't respect her. That's what
Okay.
my problem.
I
I just
was
don't
like,
respect her. I don't respect people that make it to the point that they make it to. And I kind of feel like in that situation, he allowed Skip to play in his face. Sorry.
Okay, I respect that because
I'm a
yeah.
Hall of Famer, and I'm not gonna let you play with me.
Okay,
I'm not, listen, I'm not a Hall of nothing. I ain't gonna let anybody play with me or my name.
okay. No, he no
So
that okay. That's true because he definitely yeah. I agree with you there. Okay, I was like, I don't know. I ain't unpacking on that with him, but I was like, his name's coming up if anybody else comes out. It just let's be real because I remember the first thing I saw when all the stuff with Joy Taylor came out is a picture of him and her at a baseball game, and I was like, It's like, yep, he already look, he's getting caught up now. It's kind of like when the next, it's almost how like now that they done got Diddy, how every artist in that era that it's almost like not if, it's like when. If you did something, you might as well just brace for impact. Because well, as the ship sinks, people start calling out people, Everybody's getting got. And I, unfortunately for Shannon Sharp, I think in a few weeks, some other makeup artist or somebody gonna come out, and his name gonna be all across them 42 pages, as he said.
And listen, that man, when he did that bullshit with his Instagram, I was like, "Yeah, you cooked. You got some shit about you today, right? You
Well, he
got some shit
already
about."
cooked. He already cooked. That's Michelle. I mean, he already doing dumb stuff. So unfortunately, his time is coming. I'm sorry.
And Michelle, that was probably on Michael over there. Fucking Michelle. But I'm back to Joy Taylor real quick. Now, we got all these feminist movements out here, which I'm all with, right? I want people to feel empowered. I love the fact that women are out here supporting women. And I feel like more men should also be in that camp. But what I will not subscribe to is people that hide behind that whole feminist movement as a way to destroy others. And the fact that she can even think, I'm back on that shit. The fact that she can even think in her mind to say, how could I use this to my advantage? How could I twist what happened here? And that's that whole feminist ideology. Joy Taylor ain't the first person that's thought about this. There's been so many situations that have come up where people have tried to use stuff like this to destroy someone. And it's not right. It ain't right what the executive did. It ain't right what Skip did. It ain't right what Shannon may or may not have done. But it definitely ain't right to sit here and take a situation that you wholeheartedly went into it and you were okay with, and you were going to hold something in your back pocket to lie and manipulate a situation for something that didn't happen. Too many of these situations are happening out here, and I don't like it, and I won't speak on that shit because it ain't right. You guys know I'm going to keep things a buck on this damn platform. And I don't appreciate how the hell that shit. When I saw those words, I was like, no, she didn't. Girl, if you're going to be a hoe, just be a hoe. Don't sit over here now and be a hoe, but then like, but I'm going to be a victim too, though. Nah, because there's real victims out here. And you see these real victims, people are going to take their situation seriously because of you.
That's my beef with this. And once again, I kind of like how I said, like with the her, like the beef of now any like young woman in this space now, if you get any type of success, people gonna look at you sideways. It's the same thing with that, where it's like you're ruining it for everybody else. And that's fading any beef I have, as that's my beef with her after all this.
This is crazy, man. It really is because,
Not literally.
when I look at this whole thing, it's kind of like the epitome of like some of the things that are going on in our world right now. And when you go on social media, you see all these gender wars and these gender battles, and one side is this and that, and it's like, geez, like there's so much discourse going back and forth. But when you have situations like this, it doesn't help the discourses out there. Because all it does is give ammunition for both sides to say, y'all still fucked up. You did this, you did that. That's why I just like with this whole situation, I'm like, if we're adults and we enter into a relationship, situationship, mutually exclusive situation, that's what that is. If no one has forced you, coerced you, and you're doing this shit on your own, what are we talking about? That's my thing. Now, you people that have opportunities, power in this world, the first thing you should not be thinking about is, ooh, how can I get sex from this? Because you didn't get sex when you were in high school or college. That's nobody's fault that you were lame. Don't wait till you get 50 years old and now you're out here like, I'm an executive VP of talent. And if you want to get on this show, you got to show me how bad you want to get on this show. That's just weird. What happened to helping people just because you want to help them? What happened to helping people just because you want to be a part of their success? What, like, where did I lose the memo that like somebody had to do something for you sexually for you to give people a spot and a leg up? What happened to mentors? Did we lose those? See, that's my problem with this situation. And I'm not a naive person. I don't want people listening like, oh, Prince, you've been. No, I'm not a naive person. Because I've been there. I've been a part of people's success. People have been a part of my success. They didn't have to do nothing for me, and I sure did hell didn't have to do nothing for them. But people wanted to be a part of that. Like, how do we get away from that? It shouldn't take people to be fearful of being exposed to do the right thing. Now, Jason Willock over here talking about some, yeah, I didn't do anything because I was scared straight. Listen, you a weirdo too. Your first reaction shouldn't be to think about fucking somebody. This is your coworker, your colleague. Y'all should be thinking about winning Emmys together.
You think that, but clearly not, unfortunately. But you think that would be the ideal first thought is how can we as a group here succeed? Clearly, that was not their first thought.
I don't know, my man, but something that was super, super wicked to me, and something that, like, again, we talked about Derrick Rose when he announced his retirement, and you and I both kind of talked about our thoughts and just memories about Derrick Rose as a player, and I even kind of waxed poetic about him as a person. But we had D Rose night here recently here in Chicago. And I'm not gonna lie to you, DJ, bruh. It was just such a cool moment being there at the United Center. But also I thought it was a cool moment for the NBA world from afar to be able to kind of take that moment in, right? Because Derrick Rose, he went through hell. Like, let's just not forget the fact that in his career, it was a tortured career. He had some of the best successes, followed by some of the worst imaginable tragic aspects that someone can have in their career. And here in Chicago, when you're in a major market, these fans, they were kind of Derek when he was battling all those injuries. So to see Derek be honored, to see him get his flowers, literally get his flowers. Bro, that was so cool, man. Seeing all his teammates come back. Luol Deng flew back from fucking Africa.
Right.
I got friends that probably wouldn't drive 20 minutes to come do something for me. This man flew from Africa.
First try 20 minutes.
I'm just saying, people act like as you move to the suburbs, you move to freaking Canada or something. Anyway, my point is, that says a lot about Derrick Rose. All of those former teammates that pulled up, bro. Thabo Sefolosha came from Switzerland. I got a chance to talk to Thabo. He was like, yeah, he said, I'm not gonna miss this. He's like, D Rose, my guy. It was at least 20 of his former teammates that came and pulled up. That says a lot about a person, bro. They didn't have to do that. Brian Scalabrine came from Boston, bro. He had to cover a game.
I was thinking that because you don't know me. I'm a Celtics fan. I just seen my man on the broadcast, and I was like, "Yo, he really just middle of the tour, yo, pulled up, went right back to work. Like that says something."
Yeah. And to
Yeah,
hear
man.
how Joakim Noah, bro, like you know him and D Rose. I mean, they them dudes right there, they brothers. You know, each have been at each other's weddings. But when I saw Joe up there just speaking to not just about, like I said, man, I don't want to ever reduce anyone to what they've done athletically. Because when it comes to Derrick Rose, it's deeper than that, bro. And to hear Joakim Noah talk about him and his evolution as a man. That's the stuff about Derrick Rose that I will always remember. When Derrick Rose first came to Chicago, yeah, Derrick Rose is a freak athlete. But when you got Derrick Rose in front of a microphone, he said weird things. And I would always cringe. And I'm like, oh, Derrick, no, don't say that. Then it got to the point where his brothers and people in his camp, BJ Armstrong, they started speaking for him. And it was clumsy. And we had people out here looking at D Rose crazy because the people around him are saying weird shit. And we're thinking, well, is that how Derek feel? So in the moment, seeing Derek Rose honored and him on that microphone and him speaking, and I was like, wow, he spoke so eloquently. And for me, I was proud of that. To see a young black man that came from Inglewood, one of the roughest neighborhoods in the world. And he is being honored in front of 22,000 people. The mayor of Chicago made January 4th Derrick Rose Day. Bro, he's just a kid from Chicago. Can you imagine how that has to feel for him? This is his city. He loves this city. All Derrick Rose wanted to do was have success in his city, lead his city to a championship. It didn't go the way that he wanted to, but DJ, I'll tell you one thing, this shit was bigger than basketball.
It was. It really was. 'Cause like, I mean, we've already said like one of the biggest what ifs in sports. But it really is just given how his career and like how just like how his career ended and how life did him. For him to get honored, and honestly, just watching it almost brought tears to my eyes. And like you said, like you from there. I'm not even from there. I have real no attachment to this man. I like, in a sense, was like, man, like this, he deserves it. Like, that's so great. Like, and that's me, somebody who I was 7 when he won MVP. Like I said, no real, and but it's just so great. And like the Derrick Rose day, and just it was so great to watch someone who get their flowers. And like you said, like all their teammates, probably like a good person just getting the love back they deserve. Like that was what made that so cool. Because as we were talking the other day, like him, like seeing him and talking, like him and like his son PJ's there, and like PJ was crying, like it made me cry. And that's what makes that like just so great. And like he really deserved that. I know I'm repeating myself, but like I want to put emphasis on how much he really deserved that. And I'm so glad they gave that to him.
And he's gonna have his jersey retired.
Yeah. That was
Yeah.
cool. That video was cool too when they told him that one.
Yeah. And you remember, like, I joked about it on the last show, but with Michael Carter Williams, when he thought that it was gonna be sweet for him to wear that number, he got bullied. Bro, Chicago fans don't play about Derrick Rose. They bullied my man straight up out of that number one. Like,
They
Michael Carter
did.
Williams, you ain't done nothing in this league to think that you're gonna wear that man's jersey number. Get your ass out of here.
I will admit though that hurts me a little personally because he's from the same city as my dad, so I rock with Carter Williams. But yeah, that one was a little crazy. I can't lie, but
Fuck all that. That man was
that
tripping. You ain't in Philly no more. Get your ass out of here with that shit. This D Rose.
hey, you gotta give him credit for that rookie debut Carter Williams had though.
It ain't enough for you to think that you're
No,
gonna
no,
come
no,
to
no, no.
Chicago.
Dear God, no. I'm not defending that number one. No. I'm just saying, you say he did nothing. I was like, you gotta give him a little bit of credit on the he did some things. Not worth doing number one. That was wicked. I
I mean,
no.
that was a weak rookie class. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, bro, don't come to Chicago acting a fool, Marco Carter Williams. And I'm glad he got his teeth fixed. His teeth were fucked up.
Yo, chill,
And listen, I got
chill.
a lot. See, this that Chicago. This how we ride with D Rose. Don't play.
I see that's that.
MCW coming out here thinking he thought shit was sweet. Come on, bro. Get
I
out of
can't.
here.
I can't defend him for wearing the number one, but hey, he from Massachusetts. I gotta defend him. You can't dog walk him too bad now. All right, before I
Oh,
gotta.
listen, I will listen. I'm not done yet.
Hey, you gotta
I
chill.
got more. He light skinned too. Stop it. Stop it.
Hey,
Stop it.
chill.
How you light skinned and don't have good hair? See, I could go all day long.
Stop. Stop. That's wicked. Look, all I'm saying is he had the great rookie debut. He won rookie of the year. Remember, Giannis was in that class though. So let's look. Hey, let's not call it
Who
too
was in the
weak now.
class with him?
Giannis is 2 picks behind him. So
Are you really gonna talk about Giannis when he got drafted by the Bucks and he didn't play?
look, I'm just all I'm saying
Are you
is.
really gonna do that? Do you really have to get? You really have to make me put on my basketball hat and school you real quick?
I can't. I
Giannis
admit
barely played.
it's a hard argument to drive. I can't lie. I'm on a sinking ship here. But I tell you, he's
Yeah,
not choosing.
your ship failing, bro.
It oh, it's falling apart. And this is just a bad. This I'll be
Yeah.
honest. This sinking ships. I admit though, I'm stubborn. I go down with my ship. So I'm a defender of the
That's
MCW.
fine.
Be in
That's
Massachusetts.
fine.
I ain't gonna defend the number one. But you'd be like, he's nothing. Well, hold on. See, he did a little bit. He did a little bit. He did a
Yeah,
little bit of
but
something.
I don't know.
You over here. You're like, I'm not buying none of that. I would cry.
Listen, I got like about three more in the tank that I was gonna sit on, but yeah, Michael Carter Williams can go
Chill. Come on now. That's Massachusetts right there. And I tell you, him and my dad from the same city. So, like,
Listen, it was all respect to your pops, but fuck Michael Carter Williams. Like, that's all I gotta say.
I went to one of his basketball camps now. Come on. Chill. I went to one of
Listen,
his
you come
basketball
to
camps.
Chicago, we still got that energy today. How dare you, Michael Carter Williams? How dare you, sir? For real.
Oh, snap.
That man ain't never hit a weight in his life, and y'all here think you can wear the number one jersey? Okay, I'm off of it. I'm off of it. But anyway, shout out to D Rose, like the boy Kanye said. That nice. Always, right? It's always love with D Rose. Glad he got
Sure.
his flowers. He deserved that. Seeing in that moment, like as you brought up with him and his son. Bruh, if anybody that watched that didn't have a tear in their eye, what is wrong with you? Because again, It's deeper than basketball. That's a man talking to his son. And he talked about the situation with the media before the game. He talked about how he saw Kyan and Carmelo in that situation. I have that with PJ, helping PJ develop into the next level of his basketball career. Because when Carmelo retired, Kyan said, his game went to the next level because his dad was right there with him in the gym. Now think about that. When Kyan goes to Syracuse, how many people on his team is going to have the type of bag that he has in his game? Not many.
Nope.
They may have trainers and all these people that do the cool shit for him, but they look cute on Instagram. His father's Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
And PJ Rose now, when he starts to develop, when he goes to high school, can you imagine? With all the things that Derrick Rose has learned, not only just on the court, but off the court, some of the missteps that he had, PJ gonna be ready, bro.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. That's gonna be exciting. Because also, that's the weirdest thing to me is like growing up. Like until that other day, you asked me. I still thought he was like 3, 4 years old. I ain't gonna hold you. I hadn't seen that kid in a minute, and I was like, oh wow, like he's growing up. But like that's gonna be exciting when he comes up because he gonna be filthy. And also, like a lot of these NBA kids. When the pressure's not on you that much and the intention's not really there, you like quietly become really great.
Oh yeah.
Because Carlos Boozer's kids are like top of their ranked in
Oh
their class,
jeez.
but once again, no one's paying attention to them.
Well, no, I would argue his son is number one. The Cameron Boozer, they've been focusing on him since he was in eighth grade, but everybody knew he was the one.
But I'm saying like from the like it wasn't there was no hardcore like expectations. I mean, like you know. Like put like take a Barney for example. Like any misstep he had, they're coming after him. In our reality, the booze is
Yeah, but,
that,
it's, but you know what? It's a little different when your father is LeBron James versus
and that's kind of
Carmelo
what I'm
Anthony.
saying. Is like you know when you when people are not like the pressure when you're pressured because your dad wasn't like you know still playing greatest of all time or up in that conversation. I don't think so, but you know up in that conversation. Yeah, their expectations are harder and like they're there. But like you think about like Carmelo's son, like he not that I'm saying that no one's paying attention, but the pressure is not as high as there for like someone else. So he
I
gets
get
to
your point, yeah.
quietly, you know what I mean? He gets to quietly develop. So I think for like a PJ, like he's gonna get to quietly develop stuff and no one's gonna really bother him all that much. Because the pressure of like the you have to succeed, your father is not gonna like crazy be there because no one yeah, you know what I mean? Because it's not the I feel like I don't know. I personally I just think
I think the advantage that these NBA kids have is the fact that they don't have to basically be with their fathers, where the fathers had the, pretty much the pressure of the whole entire neighborhood, the whole entire family. They had that type of pressure on their back. These kids just need to go out. All they had to do is go out, have fun, enjoy the game, and go be great. So I think that's the advantage that they have. Think about it. LeBron, when he was 17, 18 years old, he was fighting generational poverty for his whole entire family. You remember that situation with him at the Hummer and how his mom used to be out there wilding. She was ghetto as fuck. LeBron had a lot of things he had to overcome. And look at them now. That family life royalty. He did that. But see, Bronny don't have to do that. See, the whole situation was set up for Bronny. So that's what the situation with Carmelo, his kid, Kyan is set up. PJ gonna be set up. Gilbert Arena's son is set up. I go on and on. The Boozer twins, they set up. When Matt Barnes and his twins, when they get ready to come, they set up. And see, I love that I'm talking about black fathers that are putting their kids on. Because so many people will sit here and they talk about NBA players and they're womenizers and they are adulterers and they're bad fathers and they do this and they do that. Okay, well, rub me the facts about these stories here. Let's talk about those just as much as we talk about the Sean Kemps in the world. Rub me that. See, we talked about on the open how we can get the most out of the new year. Well, we can first start by minding our damn business out here in these streets and stop worrying about what other people are doing and worry about yourself. That was one of the things for me, DJ, when I was on that cruise. I did a self-review, and I'm telling you, I do this every year. And it's not just about work. It's about my life. See, sometimes we need to take a step back and kind of figure out, all right, how this past year, how did it go for me? And I told you guys on the show, DJ, you heard me. I said professionally, great. Personally, there were some challenges. So then I had to reflect on that. I had to sit on that. I had to ruminate on that. How did I get here? Why did those things get to the way that they got to, right? And then now, the new thing is now, after that self-review, figured out what relationships am I going to repair? What new relationships do I feel like I need to establish? Because the thing about it is, I don't want to be stagnant ever. Personally, professionally, none of those kind of ways. I'm always looking to put myself out there. But then also, I thought about some of my stressors, DJ. I thought about some things that were keeping me from getting to the next level. So for me, honestly, man, that trip was so much more than a vacation. I had so much time to journal. I told you guys I journal a lot. I had a lot of time to meditate. Listen, when you out there at the sea and you got those waves crashing and all you doing is you just looking into the abyss, look, bruh, there's nothing more peaceful than that. Or if you can find something more peaceful than that, I'm willing to listen. But, bruh, I was good out there, man. Like I said, a lot of highs and lows for me last year. But taking the time to write those things down, taking time to plan the year ahead. Now, I know people, they want to say, well, I just want to be spontaneous. I just want to live life. Yes, there is a certain level of spontaneity that I love in life. But I also know that you don't win in this world by flying by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things with approaching the new year. I know for me, though, like you said, I can kind of on the same side say, like, professionally, great year. I mean, it's been a great year. For me, the sitting back was definitely trying to think of how to then, almost like top it in a sense. And that I know that's one of the things I can be honest with my outlook on like success and making goals and stuff. There's pros and cons to the way I look at life. I can't lie. Because I'm one of those people where I think of my goals as like sitting there on like 3rd and 7, where I'm literally like, it's like either it's like I gotta make the first down. But it's that thing where I know for me, I'm so like focused on like because you say this to me all the time, where like sometimes you're like, make sure you live your life a little. And that's where I can admit like I struggle. Cause I know like when thinking about the goals and it's like trying to make the next thing and trying to do the next goal a lot. That I get so caught up in the trying to do whatever's next that like I don't ever sit back and like think about the good that I've had. And I gotta admit, like, weirdly enough, I don't feel successful, which seems crazy, I bet, when like people hear all the stuff I've done and they're like, you don't feel like you've had any type of success. And I'm like, well, no, because I have to be honest, I'm so like driven on like what's next. And that's where I'm like, that's definitely one of those things I know, like. Personally, for me, I'm like, I definitely got to take a step back and like work on that and like getting out more. Cause I mean, we joked on it on this pod enough times, and I'm like, yeah, honestly, like, you're not wrong. Also, after you said it, I heard it enough times from other people that I was like, maybe clearly I got a problem because everybody keeps talking about I need to get out of the house more. I'm like, maybe I need this has got to be something I got to work on. So that's one of those things where like, for me personally, when like thinking about like the highs and lows of the past year, it's like, don't get so driven in trying to like just be like a workaholic. Cause like I admit in the world, like yeah, I've gotten and done some things. It's like at the same time, it's like, all right, like you can't just focus on that. Like you still gotta live some life too.
No, 100%, bro. But you know what, DJ? I appreciate you even bringing that up because there's probably somebody that's listening to you right now. They may be like, wow, that's kind of interesting that he doesn't feel successful because at a young age he's done this and he's done that. But you also got to realize that there's also more to life than to just having individual success because a lot of times people are so driven by what they call quote unquote success that there's things around them that they're not taking time to enjoy. I'm gonna go back to Derrick Rose just for one quick second. When he spoke to the media on Saturday, he talked about the fact that all he wanted to do was win a championship in the city of Chicago. But he knew that that wasn't going to be enough. When he would have gotten that one, there would have been, I want to get three. I want to get four. I want to get five. So for him, he had to reevaluate. And bro, this is really so cool that I had a chance to sit in on that media availability because he talked about the biggest thing for him was tapping into himself. Now, how many people are out here doing that? Self-knowledge. Finding your identity. Not getting lost in success, bro. Because at the end of the day, all the stuff the DJ and I are doing, yeah, it's great. It's cool. But what really matters to you? That's the shit that I'm after right now. As I talk about, reaching out to loved ones. There were so many people DJ that I hadn't taken the time to remind them of what they meant to me. In this world, people only tell people what they mean to them on two occasions, sadly. When you get married and when you die. One of those times, you're not here to even know what the hell the person said about you. So a big thing for me is being more intentional, not be using it in a cliche thing. But setting aside some time. Like, dude, I set aside some time after the new year. I sent some text messages out, made a couple calls. Dude, some people that I hadn't really hollered at in a while. See, DJ and I, we get our chance on this show to tap in with each other. But there's people legit, DJ, that I had 3, 4 months gone by. I hadn't
Ooh,
really,
me and
you
you
know,
both.
yeah. So now it's like, man, I need to get updated on you. How you doing? So improving relationships is something really that I'm looking at really doing here. So for me, it's like I'm looking at this year and I'm like, this is a really good opportunity for me to really be intentional, not just say it, but actually do it. But not only just to do it because the year flipped and it's January, because like I had DJ and I discussed earlier, don't make it into a resolution. Make this something that's sustainable. Do it throughout the year. Like, I want to make sure I'm keeping those communications and those connections strong. Just like DJ said, how he wants to have more balance. So I'm glad that you brought that up, man, because the thing about it is that a lot of people will sit here, they want to talk about how the hell can they get the most out of the new year, and they all make it resolution based. I was like, just go do it.
Yeah, because especially that thing you said about D Rose, like with the championship thing, because that is my way of thinking. Like, funny enough, when we met at that first combine, you'd assume as a 19-year-old kid who just made the NFL combine, you'd be getting on the flight home, like riding high, feeling like you're on top of the world. And the first thing I could have, my first thought was, I need to be back here next year. Like, it was no enjoying the moment. And like, that's one of those, like, and that's where it's like I just know that's like my mentality with a lot of things. And like I said, on one side it's like, well, yeah, since you're always like trying to stay determined and get you places. But on the two, it's like, but you're not like taking anything in and like enjoying stuff. Like I remember we talked actually the last combine. I remember we something we laughed about, and it's something I never thought about till we talked about it and I joked. Where I was like, I remember one of my friends was like, so aren't you like since like the guys have to graduate college first to then get to the combine? Like, isn't there a world where you're most likely the youngest person there? And I was like, yeah, I just might be. And you were like, yeah, you probably are. And I was like, and in the moment, I never even thought of stuff like that. Cause in my mind, I'm just like so like on the go and like in the what's coming next and trying to do stuff. And that's where, like you said, like certain relationships, like I think of like some of my friends in high school. Like when I left, I realized I'm not that good with texting. That to the point where if I don't see you every day or we're not like keeping in touch or I like, you know, see you regularly, sometimes my brain's like, I just in a moment like, oh, I've not talked to them in like a minute. And like that's one of those things where it's like I made sure to get better at the end of the new year when I got back, was like made sure to try to go hang out with everybody and say what's up. Cause I was like, Dad, like we graduated 2 years ago. We sat at a lunch table every day for 4 years of high school. And we're high school, middle school. So some of them since middle school. And I was like, yeah, now it's like 4 months every time we talk. Like that don't sit right with me.
See, I
And
respect
like,
that. I respect that.
yeah, and it's a thing where like you can be like a phone works two ways, but still it's just like to me, I'm like, nah, like that. So I'm, I have a brain. I'm like, that's on me. Cause I'm like, that's as much as, and that's the thing, as much as like, everybody I see is like, it's always like, they always so happy for me and I'm like, rooting for you. And I'm like, yeah, but it shouldn't take 6 months and me stumbling upon you in the city to say hello and like to hear this. Like, this should not be like that crazy. Like, funny enough, you mentioned the wedding. I remember like one of the few times I ended up seeing like a guy I worked with. He's like an older brother to me. And I remember, like, he invited me to his wedding, and I was there, and like it was like so good to see him. But I was like, you know, and I remember when I talked to him like a couple like weeks before the wedding, and he like was sending me the invitation. He was like, you know, like as someone who's like basically like your older brother, in a way, like, we joked like as like you know someone who looked out for you. Like I feel like I should reach out more. And I was like, yeah, at the same time, I should too. Like at the same time, I know everybody's watching the stuff I do, and everybody's rooting for me. But like the fact that we are not talking on a regular basis like we used to. When, especially in this day and age with phones and you can do look up anything and text somebody at the drop of a hat, like that's kind of ridiculous.
And
And
consider
that
that your phone is always attached to you.
you ain't kidding. I guess in this society, when everybody's uses as much screen time as they do, and you can't take 2 minutes actually to check up on somebody, like that, something's gotta be wrong. And that's where, like me personally, I'm like, we gotta fix that. Cause I'm like, that's like that doesn't sit right with me.
And being busy isn't an excuse, right? And that's the thing that I'm really trying to be more cognizant of, right? You know, another thing I was just thinking about, DJ. So I'm a very like neat person. Like if you come to my house, nothing's out of place, and I am kind of that guy. Like if you came over and like you just like kind of like threw your coat and put your bag all over the place, I might like look at it for like a second or two, and then I might move it somewhere. You know, like I'm that kind of guy. So I think for me, that's one of the things that I really like is basically not having clutter, because it's like a mental thing for me. So I would say that I know a lot of people out here that they probably have projects that they want to do. They're like, oh man, there's this garage project that I have. I want to organize my garage, or I want to organize my closet. Do those things, because you never know what that'll do for you mentally. Like it's something about cleaning up. It's something about having things like straightened that is like, I don't know. It's like a satisfaction that comes from that. At least it does for me. It's a calming type of thing, right? I never like when I leave for a business trip or a vacation to come back to a dirty crib. It's something about a DJ when I come home and you know, dishes in the damn sink, the dishwasher's clear, my house smells good, everything's straight, all the clothes are washed. Like something about that just that it just hits different with me. So I would just say find whatever that is for you. If it's not the organization piece, fine. If it is, you know, lean into it. But I just think for me, you got to find out things that are going to be good for you. Self-care. I always talk about that. What does that look like for you? Because for me right now, I told DJ last year, health-wise, I let my health get away from me. Bruh, I'm down like 40 pounds now. That was
That's
something
what's
that
up.
was important to me. Get it back, remember who the fuck I am. You know what I'm saying? I like shit. I had to put that shit on New Year's. I had to remind people now. But you know, whatever that is for you, you know, just get back to you, the things that you're in tune with. I know for me, my focus was on my mental health a lot last year. Then I had to check myself, like, hey, now your mental health can't be all in check if your physical health is like not on point. So I was like, oh, yeah, let me get back here now and work on this nutrition now. Let me get my ass to bed. Because it was times I was telling DJ I ain't sleeping. Because I was too busy working and grinding and worried about success. Now I'm like, no, shit. Hey, that'll be here tomorrow. I'm taking my ass to bed. Because if I'm doing all this working, I won't wake up tomorrow if I keep doing this shit.
Time I was like, I need to get better with sleep because I was like, yeah. And I've been doing that over the last couple of days, and I've been actually like, oh, this is actually really nice. I was like, look at me going to bed and actually not getting up at the butt crack of dawn trying to do all the extra work. I was like, this actually is relaxing. Like, who'd have thought? Like, I say it sarcastically, of course. I'm like, yeah, this is of course. But yeah, definitely with that, and like the like I call it like the workaholic kind of thing. Like, that's definitely something I definitely end up doing, and I'm like, yeah, I need to get better with that. Cause like, you know, and not to be funny, but like when somebody who knows, I put it like this, as much as like we catch up every like 2 weeks or whatever, whenever we do this stuff or however long, whenever we pod, it's kind of wild to think that like you're one of the people I talk to the most. And I'm like, that seemed like not in like a bad way, but it's like, oof, like that raises concerns. Like in a way. Cause not like in a way, it's like, yeah, when it's like when you think like in a way, like, you know, I'm like, yeah, that's that part of me is like that's a little crazy. And that's where I understand like the part where I'm like, yeah, like I need to get better with doing stuff like that and trying to, you know, because like especially like during my summers, like you think like most college kids, you're in summer or spring break or whatever, and you know, you're supposed to be hanging out and doing stuff. And it's like, nah, I'm spending my entire summer just running around just doing work. And I'm like, when do you ever enjoy anything?
That's the thing, right? And not only just enjoying things, but what type of new things are you trying? Like, so for instance, I signed up for a cooking class for next week. And I'm just trying to broaden my horizons. Now I think that I could do a little bit something in the kitchen now, but I'm like, you know what? Let me see what this person have. Maybe there's some new tricks that I can like learn. And it's also something that I think could be kind of cool. So I think that's something that I want to bring into the new year is broaden my horizons a bit. Embrace the new experiences. So DJ, you kind of like when you said that it triggered me to talk about that because that's another thing. Like there's people out here that are like, man, I want to learn how to play a musical instrument. Go do it. What's stopping you? Take that trip. Like everybody was talking about that during the pandemic. Take that trip. Take that flight. And then what happened? We come back outside again and people forgot that? Keep that same energy.
Indeed, though, you really, like there's certain things. It's funny. Whenever we broadcast a game, a high school game, I always like to say, you get one life to live it like it's golden. And that's one of those things where I'm like, I got to get better at it.
But you even saying that, it shows that you recognize it. And, whatever pace that you want to make that change, whatever it looks like, just do it. Even if it's baby steps. But my thing is, at least speaking it out loud shows that you're cognizant of some areas that you can tweak. And there's probably people that are listening to this right now. It's probably motivated them in some kind of way. I mean, especially like with the building stronger relationships piece that you said. Well, I do think that I'm a cool person and all. But yeah, if you're not like checking in with your fam and not your fam, but if you're not checking in with your homeboys that you came up with, that's probably a problem. But it's
Right?
something that I can relate to as well because hey, I got some day ones that I'm like, man, I gotta do a better job of like staying locked in. Cause being busy ain't an excuse. It's not.
Yeah.
Cause I don't just fuck with everybody. You know that, DJ. I do
Yeah.
not. So if somebody is in my universe, that person's mad at bro. This is gonna sound real bad, but it's like, bro, I just don't have time for bullshit. So if I feel like man, somebody coming to me and they bring in like negativity, I just don't want it around me at all. Like I'm not getting any younger. Like this world and this life that we have, I've done my struggling and overcoming this and overcoming that. I want to win. I want to enjoy the fruits of my labor path. I'm being greedy out here in these streets now. So that's what I'm on here in 2025, DJ. Shit. DJ, gotta hit him with that curtain call, bruh.
All right, everybody, this current call goes out to Fannie McClendon and Anna Mae Robertson. Robertson and McClendon are the last living members of the 6888. The 6888 were a group of African American women who served in the U.S. Army during World War II, primarily tasked with sorting through a massive backlog of mail for soldiers overseas. They were the first and only women Army Corps unit of color to be stationed in Europe during World War II. I'll be honest, y'all. Obviously, shout out to Miss McClendon and Miss Robertson. I need to watch it. A great movie. And shout out to Miss McClendon and Miss Robertson for what they did, and that whole group, of course.
It's the thing, man. We talk about this so much that we are part of history. You can't have American history without Black history being included. And these women and their sacrifice, DJ, that's the thing, man. When it's not even just about the movie, it's about the fact of the story and the sacrifice serving for a country that didn't respect them. Not just because of the fact that they were women, didn't respect them because they were Black women. These are the reasons why DJ and I on this show are so intentional about what we speak about and how we present information to you guys. So DJ, I appreciate that curtain call. Thank you so much. Audience, as always, we appreciate your continued support of the show. Happy New Year, y'all. Without you, we wouldn't be. We're the Pulling Back the Curtain podcast. Thanks for listening.